for your life. I wonder if you think about it much. I wonder if you think about how your life is turning out. Are you today where you thought you'd be 10 years ago? I take that as maybe not. And where do you want to be in 10 years' time? What do you think you'll be doing in the year 2026? It's kind of the things we don't really think about too much, is it? And yet so often we can find ourselves kind of in a place where we didn't think we'd be, and maybe sometimes that can be a great place, better than we can imagine, but actually often it can be a place which is a bit disappointed and a bit like, actually this isn't quite what I thought my life was going to pan out. And is there anything I can do to change it? We're going to start by watching a little video clip which will help us understand this a bit better. Oh, maybe not. That's the one. If you can hit play, that would be brilliant.
If the construction guy said something to President Business, what would he say?
You don't have to be the bad guy. You are the most talented, most interesting, and most extraordinary person in the universe. And you are capable of amazing things because you are the special. And so am I. And so is everyone. The prophecy is made up, but it's also true. It's about all of us. Right now, it's about you. And you still can change everything.
We got a hugger. Be careful. I have been told it might explode.
So I don't know if you've seen the Lego Movie. If you haven't, I'd really recommend it. It's an amazing film. One of the great things about being a dad is you watch lots of kids' movies. And most of the time, it's really disappointing, and you think, oh, no, not another one. And then suddenly you get a film like this, which is just brilliant. It's funny. It is fun for all the family, but also with this really deep message. Actually, there's this Lego village that the dad has made, and he's gluing it all together so it doesn't fall apart and doesn't move. But his son wants to play with it and bring it to life. And we only realize that towards the end of the movie, that that's what's been going on with what we've been watching. And the son has made this evil character of President Business with the glue, because he wants to just spoil it and take over and just stop anything moving. And then it's the son giving voice to his character in that little clip we see, saying, actually, you don't have to be like this. It doesn't have to be this way. Don't, just because this is the way your life's going at the moment, doesn't have to. You can change it because you're amazing, because you're special. And it's the young person saying that to the adult. And I think that's encouraging for me as a youth minister, because often we in the church don't really give voice to young people when we think we need to tell them the way to go. Actually, this is great, because this is one of God's truths of actually he often uses young people to speak to the church. So young people here today, you are often God's voice to the church. Do not keep quiet. Do not keep quiet. And I love it because the dad makes the step to the son. And again, it reminds us of the story of the prodigal son, doesn't it? Where the young son takes inheritance, runs off, spends all his money on the worldly ways, and realizes that doesn't pay up. And so he comes back, and the dad has his arms open and runs to meet him and welcomes him in. It's an amazing film because it has so many of those kind of Christian illustrations in it. But the bit I want to use tonight is that bit where President Business's life future, his plan, actually gets changed because he's challenged by his son. He's challenged that he doesn't have to be going down that path just because that's the path he's been taking. Suddenly, if he thinks about it, it can be changed. And for some of us, it may be that we're sitting here thinking, actually, I'm on this path. I'm doing whatever exams I'm doing. I'm doing whatever job I'm doing. And actually, this isn't necessarily really going where I want it to go. And the good news is that it doesn't have to go that way. We can change it. Some people think that we can't change it. It's our destiny. We have to go wherever it goes. And that's just not true. And so tonight we're looking at the subject of fulfillment. I wonder what fulfillment looks like for you. It's a funny one, isn't it? Because we think, being fulfilled, we all understand what that means. But how often do you actually stop to think, what does being fulfilled look like? What does being fulfilled look like for you at the moment? Have a think about it. A lot of people would say it's like a beautiful holiday or lots of money or being the CEO of a business. Maybe it's winning the Premiership, which as a Tottenham fan is a bit disappointing to see Leicester City on the screen. But hey, we'll give it to them this year. They won't have it for another 20 years, we're told by their manager. So it's fine. It may be fulfillment is the hope of getting married and finding that lifelong partner to be with. Maybe it's fame. And having your name on the walk of fame. It's interesting, though, isn't it, that celebrities fail so much. We hear about it all the time. We read about it all the time. It's always in the public domain, isn't it? It's in the news and the magazines and on TV, how often celebrities fail. And yet we seem to think that they've got everything. How could they fail? How could they lack anything? And yet Jim Carrey, the actor, the Hollywood actor, said this. He said, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that that it's not the answer. So basically, here's a guy who has had pretty much everything. And he's going, you've got to realize it's not the answer. And yet for so many of us, we look at the famous people and think that's how to be significant, is to be known by the world. So many people grow up thinking, don't know what I'm going to do, but I want to be known for it. I want to be famous for it. And so we've now got this culture of people being famous for no reason other than just being famous. And it's a weird thing, isn't it? But what we're finding is when we talk about fulfillment is they're not getting fulfilled in it. Actually, what they're doing is they're just postponing the loneliness. So actually, they think by being famous and doing things in the public eye, it will make them feel fulfilled. It will give them all that they're looking for. And yet what happens is once they get there, they discover, like Jim Carrey, it doesn't answer the questions. It doesn't give us what we're looking for. And I think the problem with fulfillment is that we always think about it as a future event. At some point in my life, maybe in the last few years of retirement, I will be fulfilled. In the meantime, now I've got to work hard, I've got to do everything I can because I'm saving up for that future. And that reminds me of this great story of a Mexican fisherman. I don't know if you've heard about it, but he was coming into the harbor in Mexico, in a Mexico village, one sunny day. And as he's coming in on his boat, an American businessman was in the harbor and he spotted this fisherman coming in. And he saw in his boat that there was quite a lot of tuna fish, but not masses. The boat wasn't full. And it was not that late in the day. And so the businessman sort of spoke to the fisherman, said, oh, wow, how long were you out? Your boat's not that full. And the fisherman said, oh, not that long. And the businessman was intrigued. He said, well, why didn't you stay out and fill your boat? And the fisherman was like, well, this is enough. What do you mean this is enough? You could be making a killing out here. That's what you've got in this short time. Just imagine the fish you could catch. And the fisherman grinned and goes, but I've got enough, you see. He said, every day I sleep late, I fish a while, I play with my children, I take a siesta with my wife. We go for a stroll into the village in the evenings, play guitar with my friends, we dance, we talk. It's a laugh. It's a pretty good life, if you ask me. And the businessman laughed and said, yeah, but you should be spending more time fishing. You should, if you actually concentrate on your fishing, you could fill your boat every day. And before you know it, you'd have enough money to buy another boat, a fleet of boats, and you start hiring other fishermen to fish and to bring in all these fish. And then actually, after a while, you could be marketing it, you could be canning the tuna and taking it everywhere and have this really successful business. And the fisherman said, Senor, how long is this going to take? And the businessman said, that's great, it's not going to take that long, probably 15, 20 years maybe. And then what? The fisherman asked. Well, that's the best part, because that's the time when you can sell it and you can make a fortune out of what you've made. And then what? Asked the fisherman. He said, well, then you can retire, you can move to the coast, live life on your own terms and have not a care in the world. And the fisherman said, but isn't that what I've got now? And see, for so many of us, we think about life has always got to be in the future. How big can I get? How much can I get? Rather than what does life look like right now? We think being happy, being fulfilled is a future event. And yet, it seems to me as we read scripture that it's for now. It's for now. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. This isn't merely a future promise, but a promise for the present. It's a promise for now. So what does that mean? To have life to the full. So as you know, Thrive is a charity that I started nearly five years ago. One of the things I've discovered is most people, when I meet them and I know them, will come up to me and say, so Andy, is Thrive thriving yet? And I was like, well, it's only been going 6 weeks, not yet. But it still happens every time. People go, is Thrive thriving? And to begin with, I took offense at it because it was like, well, we're just not old enough, you know. There's no way this is where I think God wants us to be. We're just an infant charity. And in some senses, still are. But a few months ago, I started to be thinking about, actually, when would Thrive be thriving? When would I ever say, yeah, actually it is? You know, what does that destination look like to say, this is pretty good? You know, this is a great place. And I suddenly started to realize that thriving isn't a destination, it's a verb. And so therefore, what does a thriving plant look like? A thriving plant is a growing plant, it's a healthy plant, it's a plant with fruit or flowers. It's a plant that looks fully like a plant should look like. And then I started thinking, so therefore thrive. What does thriving look like? Well, actually, it should be something similar. It should be something that's growing. It should be something that's got a lot of life about it. It should be something that's making a difference to the churches and young people in our area. It should be looking fairly healthy, whether that's financially, whether that's in terms of workloads or whatever. And just this week, we've actually employed our second staff member. So for the last 4.5 years, it's just been me on my own. For the last few months, we've been fundraising to bring on a children's ministry specialist because we realize so many churches don't have any young people of secondary school age at all. In fact, nearly 80% of churches within half an hour's drive of Leamington and Warwick have no youth work provision at all because they just don't have the young people. And for me, with the vision of Thrive Youth Ministries, to see all of our churches with thriving youth work, this is a problem. And so just felt that the Lord was saying, you're going to have to start younger. You're going to have to start younger. But there's such a difference between children's work and youth work that we needed to employ someone who's a specialist in working with primary school aged children. And we've just done that this week. And so it's exciting for me, and it's a bit daunting, but it's great. And the reality is, now, if people say it's Thrive thriving, for the last few weeks, few months even, I've been saying yes, because we're growing. We're starting to see fruit in what we're doing. We're seeing lives changed. And it's great. So fulfillment isn't passive. It's not something in the future. It's active. So I can be fulfilled right now, today. How? What does a fulfilled life look like? If you've got a Bible with you, do turn it on if it's on your phone, or turn to Luke chapter 3. And I want to look at Jesus' baptism. So Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Just two verses, but really significant verses about the subject we're looking at. It says here, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. So that's amazing in itself, isn't it? It wasn't a special event for Jesus. Actually, John the Baptist was baptizing people, and Jesus said, I want to be a part of that. I want to be baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Now there's loads we could say about these verses, but the fact is, Jesus' identity and his acceptance for who he was came here in his baptism. Before he preached a word, before he performed a miracle or anything, his significance and his acceptance and his identity is formed here. Because it says that God the Father speaks from heaven, you are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And that enabled him to go on to do what he was going to do. Because he didn't have to prove himself. He didn't have to make a big splash. He didn't need to be famous. He didn't need other people to give him significance. He just knew who he was, the Son of God. So he knew who he was, and he knew whose he was, that he belonged to God. And the thing is, for each of us, we get that too. This isn't something that just God says to Jesus. Actually, to each one of us, he says, this is my child, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. When we come into that relationship with him. It's amazing that for each of us, our significance, our acceptance, our identity should be in that we are children of God, who he delights in, rather than, what do my friends say about me? What do the people at school say about me? What do the people at work say about me? Am I making a difference? What am I doing? Am I doing enough? Am I doing too much? All those kind of questions that we have. Actually, that's half the problem, is sometimes when we feel low, when we feel rubbish, when we feel insignificant, we try and make ourselves more noticeable. We try and work harder. We try and do things to get people's attention and for people to say, great job, well done. And we think, oh yeah, great. Now I'm good. I better do a bit more of that because I got a good feeling from doing that. I better do it a bit more. And we go round in this cycle, which actually perpetuates our desire to be accepted by those around us. Which is fine when it's going well, but when it goes wrong and we make a mistake and we don't get that acceptance, but we get criticism, suddenly we feel like they're criticizing me, not just what I did wrong. And yet, for Jesus, that wasn't a problem because he knew who he was. He was God's son, who God delighted in. And so for me, I think fulfillment starts with knowing who you are. Know that you are a child of God. Know that God delights in you. Know that God has plans for you, that he is really pleased with you. And it's interesting, as soon as Jesus gets baptized, the Spirit leads him into the desert, and then after 40 days he gets tempted by Satan, going, if you really are the Son of God, you'll throw yourself down. If you are really the Son of God, you'll turn these stones into bread. If are you sure you're the Son of God? He's just heard the Father say, this is my son whom I love. And the devil's immediately in there. Do you really believe that? And isn't that the way when we have some kind of significant move on in our journey with Jesus that suddenly we get these doubts, we get these questions. Wow, did that really happen? You know, people come back from Soul Survivor and think, that's great. And then suddenly you're going, oh, it's so boring. Or suddenly you feel like your relationship with God is completely dead again. And it's like, oh, is this just emotional roller coaster rather than anything spiritual? But often it's just the devil trying to pull it away. Who do you think you are? Well, I'm a child of God who loves me and is well pleased. And we need to tell ourselves these things. So a fulfilled life starts with understanding who we are and who we belong to. The first miracle in John's gospel is one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites because he doesn't actually get involved. So we're going to have a look at this from John chapter 2, and we've got a visual display of this. So if you want to press play on that, please, Andy.
On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 liters. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him.
So that's great, isn't it? And that's word for word from the NIV. It's a great new DVD that they brought out where they've done the whole of John's Gospel and they've just acted it, but had this narrator read the whole of John's Gospel over the top. And it's amazing, isn't it? Kind of just reminds us about the significance of this miracle, that actually Jesus didn't get involved, but obviously it wouldn't have happened without him there. And the miracle only happened when the servants took the risk of pouring what they knew was water and it came out as wine. He didn't say, "Pour the water, it'll become wine." He just said, "Fill up those jugs and take it and give it." And they pour it thinking, "What on earth is going on?" Do you know what I mean? But somehow they did it. And I guess for most of us, we wouldn't have done that. Which is why I love this miracle so much, because it actually involves people like you and me, with Jesus saying, "Do you want to do as I'm asking you? Do you want to do like I'm asking?" One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in that passage. It's John 2, verse 5, where Jesus' mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." There's a life verse for you if ever you want one. Do whatever he tells you to do. Simple, but so deeply challenging. And yet the servants were obedient, and therefore we see the miracle played out. And so if we want to have fulfilled lives, first of all, we've got to know who we are and get our significance and acceptance from God. And then secondly, because we have that place as children of God, we're obedient to what he asks us to do. But just like that miracle, often what he asks us to do isn't easy. It doesn't make sense sometimes. It's about stepping out in faith and doing whatever you think he's telling you to do, which is risky. But if you want a fulfilled life rather than an average life or a typical life, but a fulfilled life, then we need to take these risks. We need to take these risks and step out. So we can have life to the full right now. Today, we don't have to wait, but we do make life so complicated, don't we? Life can seem so confusing. We live in a world where the end justifies the means, where politicians can bend the rules for their own benefits, where sportsmen and women will try and cheat by taking performance-enhancing drugs, which is all the scandal with the Olympics at the moment, and where marriages don't give us what we want, so we end up getting married several times to try and see if that would sort it out. The problem is we think these things will bring something more to us, to get us to that place of fulfillment, to get us to a better place than we are right now. And yet, of course, we know these things don't. They might bring us happiness for a temporary moment, but it's fleeting and it passes. Happiness is not the same as fulfillment. If I want to live a fulfilled life, I want to know that all I am doing is what God asks me to do. So we can live a fulfilled life starting today by doing three things. Firstly, be connected to God, not just smart about God. You know, it's easy to know about God. It's easy to know the Bible stories. It's easy to sing the songs. It's easy to have an awareness of God. But to be connected to God in a personal relationship is a something else. And we need that connection because I am his child. It would be weird if from my relationships with my parents that we never spoke. I knew everything they did. I knew about them. I understood what was going on, but we actually never interacted. It would be very odd. And I think most of us, if we've got good relationships with our parents, would agree. And yet often our relationship with our Heavenly Father is like that. We try and find out more about him. Well, let's just read a bit more scripture because I don't know about it. But I'm not going to talk to him. Or I'm not going to actually do what he's asking me to. I just want to be there. And then I come and sing some songs to him, tell him that I love him and that... All that goes with that, and to meet with people who know him too, but actually to be connected to him. That's when life in all its fullness comes, is through relationship, not just knowing about him, but actually taking that to the next level and actually being in relationship. So being connected, not just knowing about God. So that's the first thing, we need to be connected to God. The second thing is what helps our connection is relying on his Holy Spirit to guide us and work through us. Isn't it wonderful, as you prayed earlier, that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave is offered to us as his children? That it's not about, you're who I delight in, now good luck, go for it. It's you're my child who I delight in. I'm going to give you my Spirit so that I can work through you. That I can transform this area, this nation, this world through you if you allow me to. And God's a gentle God. He doesn't force himself on anyone. So if we wonder why the church isn't doing much, it's because we're not allowing him to. And so we need to be open to it. If you want to be fulfilled today, you've got to be open to God's Spirit guiding you and leading you. And then the third challenge, as we see in that verse, is would you be obedient and do what he asks you to do? He will give you all that you need. But you need to step out. You need to be obedient. So to close, fulfilled means, obviously, to be filled full. So be filled full of confidence in who you are as a child of God. Be filled full of purpose to serve him. Be filled full of the Holy Spirit. And be filled full of life. Life is a journey, not a destination. So stop living as though tomorrow is going to be more important than today. Because who you are tomorrow depends on who you are today and the choices you make. As the philosopher Winnie the Pooh said, life is a journey to be experienced, not a problem to be solved. So the challenge is to make sure your journey is fulfilling, walking in step with Jesus and loving those around you. So why don't we pray? Why don't we stand and we'll pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you that we are your children. Thank you that you delight in each one of us. Thank you that we can be in a living relationship with you. We don't just know about you, but we can... walk with you, talk with you, and Father, thank you that you sent your Spirit, that we are not left on our own here, but you live and dwell in us, and so Father, would you help us to grow closer to you, fill us more with your Spirit, and enable us to take those steps of obedience to whatever you want us to do. So would you come right now, fill us up, give us bold hearts, courageous hearts, that like those servants, we will do whatever you tell us to do. And we will see our lives fulfilled as a result. Amen.